A Wisconsin school district fired a teacher who broke school policy on a student's pronouns. In a new lawsuit, he says the district violated his religious freedom. It's Wednesday, August 7th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, visits by politicians can cost the cities that host them. Robert F. Kennedy clears a hurdle to make it onto the ballot. And from Wisconsin Life, a story about a library dance party. Stay with us, we'll be right back after this break.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
A Wisconsin teacher is suing his former school district after he was fired for not using the preferred names and pronouns of transgender students. Corrine Hess reports Jordan Cernick is alleging his rights to religious freedom were violated.
The Argyle School District announced in August 2022 staff members would be required to use the preferred names and pronouns of transgender students. Cernick said that was against his religious beliefs. After originally agreeing to accommodate Cernick, the district later told the teacher he had to follow the policy or be terminated, according to the lawsuit. Cernick refused and his contract was not renewed the following year. In a statement, Cernick said the policy forces him to, quote, go against his commitment to God. Officials in the Western Wisconsin School District did not respond to requests for comment. A survey of Wisconsin high school students released last week found LGBTQ youth were 40% more likely to consider suicide. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
All eyes will be on Eau Claire today as both Vice President Kamala Harris and Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance hold campaign events in the city. The dual visits also mean increased costs for local public safety departments. Eau Claire leaders say city police and fire, as well as the county sheriff and neighboring municipalities, have all been called on to help. Cities around Wisconsin have struggled to get reimbursement from past campaign stops. Ahmad Rivera-Wagner from the city of Green Bay says former President Donald Trump's campaign declined to pay for an April rally in his city.
Our local government expects people to pay their bills, and that is something that we expect both of our residents and of the people that use local services.
He says campaign events often need police officers for several hours and can also require city vehicles and street closures, all of which come at the cost to the city. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could be on the Wisconsin ballot as an independent this November after his campaign cleared an initial hurdle yesterday. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, three other independent candidates also filed their paperwork.
Four independent candidates submitted at least 2,000 signatures to appear on the Wisconsin state ballot. Those include Kennedy, an anti-vaccine activist descended from the famous political dynasty, and Cornell West, a left-wing public intellectual. Next up, the Wisconsin Elections Commission will review the signatures. If those candidates are finalized, they'll appear on voters' ballots this November. Republican nominee Donald Trump and candidates from the Libertarian and Constitution parties have also already filed to be on the Wisconsin ballot. The Green Party also has ballot status in Wisconsin. Democratic Party nominee Kamala Harris is expected to submit her candidacy in Wisconsin after the Democratic National Convention later this month. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Four people have been charged with felony murder for the death of Devante Mitchell. Mitchell died outside of the Hyatt Regency Hotel in downtown Milwaukee on June 30th after hotel employees pulled him out of the building and held him down on the sidewalk. A medical examiner's report found he was killed by restraint asphyxia and the toxic effects of cocaine and methamphetamine. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office announced the charges late yesterday. De'Asia Harmon is Mitchell's widow.
They are charging them with the obvious. We all seen the videos. We've all heard the audio. There was nothing stopping them from charging these people from day one.
The DA's office said arrest warrants have been issued for the men. Felony murder is a lesser charge than first-degree intentional homicide. State lawmakers grilled prison administrators yesterday over safety at Wisconsin's youth detention facilities. As Sarah Lear reports, the public hearing follows the death of an employee at the Lincoln Hills School for Boys.
Two incarcerated teens are charged with killing Lincoln Hills youth counselor Corey Prue in June. Lincoln Hills has been operating under a consent decree since 2018 after a lawsuit described widespread civil rights violations at the youth prison. The terms of that agreement include eliminating the use of pepper spray against youth. But Corey Prue's sister-in-law, Sarah Prue, told a state Senate panel that provision may have put her brother-in-law in danger.
How was youth counselor Corey Prue able to defend himself? The answer is simple and gut-wrenching. He wasn't.
The prison's superintendent told lawmakers it's impossible to say whether access to pepper spray would have prevented Prue's death. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we'll have a new Wisconsin Life episode. An Eau Claire writer visits his local library for a musical celebration. That's coming up right after this break.
And to the best of our knowledge, we're curious about everything.
We went for a day's caving down something called Giant's Hole, and I went onto this space where there was no running water any longer. Utter silence, dryness. I came out frightened and thrilled.
To the best of our knowledge, intelligent, optimistic, and curious about everything. Weekends on WPR News.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about the importance of our local public libraries.
The local library is an important place for a community. It's a collection of knowledge and art, a resource for learning and exploring. And for Eau Claire writer B.J. Hollers, it's even a place to turn up the music and dance.
Can somebody help me tighten my chin strap, I call. I'm in a storage room in the library basement alongside a few librarians, two of whom are suiting up into an elephant and pig costume, respectively. As for me, I'm neck deep in the latest in feline costume apparel. Not just any kitty, but the main character of a popular series of children's books, which all but ensures my successful infiltration of Eau Claire's library family dance party. The dance party is but one of the many grand reopening events to celebrate our newly remodeled library. My entourage of librarian handlers fiddle with the chin strap until my giant, whiskered kitty head is securely in place. Doing okay in there? A librarian asks. Okay is precisely how I am doing. From the neck down, I'm swimming in sweat. But thanks to a tiny fan affixed inside the kitty's head, the rest of me enjoys a cool breeze. This fan-in-the-head technology wasn't around the last time I suited up in a character costume. From 2001 to 2003, I worked at a local bookstore, earning a reputation for my character work. During the week, I was an average high schooler, but come Saturday morning story hour, I was Clifford the Big Red Dog, Angelina the Ballerina, or a host of other characters sprung from the pages of books. I'd like to say I was coerced back into costume, but in truth, I begged for the chance to suit up one last time. After 2 decades of being me, I was glad to try someone else on for size. The pig, the elephant, and I entered the elevator and then rode to the third floor dance party. You ready? One of my handlers asked. Since there's no talking while in costume, I gave her my heartiest cat pawed thumbs up. The elevator doors opened to reveal a music-thumping, disco-ball-spinning dance floor. It looks like a few very special guests have just joined the party, the DJ boomed over the microphone. Shrieks filled the room as the children laid eyes upon those characters whom they'd come to know as friends. For one shining moment, we were bigger than the Beatles. Let's see if our guests can join us in the cha-cha slide, the DJ said. It was a great question. One we'd have to figure out together. I managed each dance move just as the song instructed, clapping my hands, stomping my feet, and hopping on cue. As the dance wound down, the elephant, the pig, and I waved goodbye to our admirers before returning to the library basement. I loosened the chin strap, removed my head, then pulled off my paws. Drenched in sweat, I casually returned to the dance party a few minutes later, at which point my children and their pals ran over to greet me. Where did you go? My 8-year-old daughter asked. Oh, just checking out books, I shrugged, doing my best Clark Kent impression. But why you so wet? Asked the 2-year-old. I stalled. Sometimes I sweat when I read. Well, you just missed the kitty, one of their friends informed me. The pig and the elephant were here too. Oh yeah? I asked, feigning aloofness. Was the kitty a pretty good dancer? She was okay, the friend shrugged. Just okay, I asked. Moments later, the children formed a conga line on the dance floor, while I returned to my wallflower status alongside the cookies and punch. Staring out at the robust scene before me, I realized that this was exactly what a library should be. A place where laughter and literature need not be mutually exclusive, and a place where people can be who they are, with or without a costume. Last song of the night, the DJ called. I pushed myself from the wall, moved toward the music, and began to boogie.
BJ Hollers is a writer, author, and assistant professor of creative writing at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org, on Facebook, and on Instagram. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
And that's today's podcast for this Wednesday. Thank you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang. Our producer today was Rob Menser. Thanks so much, Rob, for helping us put the podcast together. We'll be back again tomorrow with the latest news about Wisconsin and the world. Take care. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.